Morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Have you heard the Lord this morning? Because if you heard me and you didn't hear the Lord, you missed out. I always begin with a word of prayer as I open the Bible and to preach. Because it is an awesome responsibility to stand behind a desk and preach God's word. So I'm going to pray, and if you want to pray, you can just sit where you are. I'm going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, God, I want to thank you for the privilege that you've given me to preach the word. It is an awesome responsibility. I pray, God, you would anoint my lips, anoint my heart, and bless the people, God. They are your people, my brothers and my sisters, your children, sons and daughters of God. You come here to hear the words of Jesus, not the words of a man. We ask, God, you would pour out thy Holy Spirit. Fill this place, O God, with thy angels and with thy presence. We thank you, God, for hearing our prayer. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I like a lot of texts. You guys like a lot of texts when you study your Bible? I'll go through 100 texts and just keep on going. So I hope you guys, how many of you guys have your Bibles? You have your Bible? Hold them up. I want to see who's got Bibles. All right, I'm going to try and pace this out so I don't lose anybody. But if I start to lose it, don't worry, just keep listening. So if you have your Bibles, open your Bible, please, to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3. And when you get there, say amen so I know at least I have one or two witnesses. I got one and two. Exodus 15,
amen.
Verse 3. And I'm going to go ahead and read it since I heard two amens. Exodus 15, 3, it says, the Lord is a man of
war.
The Lord is his name. I want you to look at this text. It says, the Lord is a man of what?
War.
He's a man of war. Now, when you think man of war, what do you picture? I want to throw that out there. What do you picture when you see man of war? What comes to your mind?
Soldiers.
Soldiers. What else?
Combat.
What else?
Weapons.
What?
Weapons.
You need weapons to fight a war, right? But when you think all those things, do you think like a military man, a soldier, you know, all decked out, grenades, a Glock, you know, machine guns? Is that how the Lord makes war? No. You notice how the words are connected? It says the Lord, that's his name, that's Jehovah, right, is a man of war. So when he makes war, it can only be made war according to his name, according to his character, his righteousness, right? He doesn't war with lies. He wars with truth. He never wars with unrighteousness. He only wars in righteousness. He cannot war with sin. Does that make sense? So when it says the Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name, it's connected to how he makes war and how we ought to make war. We got to fight that good fight of faith. Let's continue. Let's take a look at Isaiah 42, verses 13 through 16. Isaiah 42. Verses 13 through 16. When you get there, say, I need a strong amen.
Amen.
I got one. All right, I got two. Isaiah 42, 13 through 16 says this. The Lord shall go forth as a
mighty man.
He shall stir up jealousy like a man of
war.
War. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holded my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. Verse 16, and I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. What's wrong with Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3? They're blind. So the Lord says, I want to bring the blind by a way they didn't know. Because he's the one who can see. He's got to take us by the hand and say, this is the way. So, a way they knew not, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. God's promise. We're all blind. We can't see the inwardness of the heart. Only God can see that. So he has to lead us out of all of that. Go with me to Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We're going to read this again. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. I got one amen. Now I got a couple more amens. Amen. All right. I'm telling you, I want to make sure everybody's kind of following me on this. All right. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder." You gotta really read that. "One of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a..." What did he have?
Bow.
He had a bow. I want you to keep that in your mind. He had a bow. "And a crown was given unto him. And he went forth" what?
Conquering to conquer.
Conquering to conquer. He knows no loss. It's victory to victory. Faith to faith. Glory to glory. We suffer loss because we're never always with Jesus. We got to stick with Jesus. We'll never lose.
Amen.
Conquering and to conquer. He's here to grant you victory today. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16. Chapter 19, verse 11.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read. All right, here we go. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in" what?
"Righteousness,
righteousness doth he judge and make" what?
"War."
I didn't make it up. The Bible just told you, right? Verse 12, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon" what?
White horses,
clothed in fine linen, white and clean. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." Who is that army that's following Jesus? It's you. His army of righteousness. It's you. Aren't you kings? It says he's king of kings. You're all kings and priests. Notice the white raiment you're supposed to wear. White horses. Victory to victory. Conquering to conquer. Over all sin in your life. Go with me to Psalms 45. Psalms 45. Psalms 45, verses 3 through 7.
Amen.
I got one amen. I got two. All right, here we go. Psalms 45, 3 through 7. It says, "Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty." See how it's connected to how he makes war? "And in thy majesty ride prosperously." Now, when you say ride, what are you on? A horse. What was he riding in Revelation? He's riding a horse. Notice, it says, "Ride prosperously." What's prosperously?
Successfully.
Conquering and to? Conquering. You know no loss. It's constant gain. "Prosperly because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee" — terrible, that is awesome — "things." Verse 5. "Thine" what? What did the man on the horse have in Revelation? A bow. Remember the bow? Ah, now he's got what? He's got arrows with that bow. Because how can you use a bow without arrows? It says, "Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall unto thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." Verse 7, "Thou lovest" what? He loves righteousness. "And hatest" what? What should we do then? Love righteousness and hate wickedness. I mean, we're following Jesus, right? You got to love the things he loves and hate the things he hates. It's not merely enough to hate the things he hates. You got to love what he loves, which is all of you. All of you. "Therefore, God, thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Talking about angels and men. So, what was the first weapon? What was the weapon he had? He's got a bow. Let's take a look at that bow. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 3. It says, and they bend their tongues like their what? Bow for lies. You mean your tongue is like a bow? Ooh, can you fire arrows from your mouth? You ever had words pierce your heart? Somebody say something to you, they fired an arrow at you. Now, the Lord has a bow, right? He can fire some arrows that pierces right to the heart. You know, you've ever been convicted about something? See, the Lord knows where to aim. Let's read that again. It says, they bend their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for truth upon the earth. For they proceed evil to evil, they know not me, saith the Lord. So, the Lord has a bow, but so does his enemies. And they're out to shoot at you. Let's take a look some more at this bow. What do we got? Let's look at Zechariah 9. Zechariah, minor prophet, so-called. Zechariah 9, and verse 9 to 17. Let me know when you get there. Zechariah 9. I got a couple. I'm going to go ahead. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Pardon me. Verse 11, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have what?
Bent.
You bent Judah for me, and what? Filled the bow with Ephraim. You mean God's going to use us as a weapon? That's what it says. It says, I've bent Judah for me and filled the bow with Ephraim. Keep going here. It says, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece. You know that beast of Revelation chapter 13? His body was the body of a leopard, kingdom of Greece. You will be weapons against that kingdom, against the papacy, against all unrighteousness. Keep reading. It says, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the what? God doesn't just have regular arrows. He's got mighty arrows. As the lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. And they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls, and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. The word of God. You ever see the word of God in a new light? The Holy Spirit's poured out in a passage, you go, I never saw that before. I understand. That's what he wants to do. He wants to show you something new. Take a look at Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk. Go back a couple of pages. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 9. Okay, I got one amen.
Amen,
a couple of amens. It says, thy bow was made quite what?
Naked.
Because in order to use a bow, you got to take it out. And you have to string it, right? It's made quite naked. And when you pull that bow out, you're not playing around with it. It's now going to be used, right? It says, your bow was made quite naked. According to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah, thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. And go with me to the next verse. It says, the mountains saw thee, and they trembled at overflowing. The water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation at the light of thine what? You see the word light connected with arrows again? If he's going to fill the bow with us, what kind of arrows do we need to be? Arrows of light. Because God's not going to use darkness to fight against his enemies. He's going to use light. It says, thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Go with me to Lamentations. Lamentations. I want you to really get the picture of this bow that God is using. Lamentations. Find my Lamentations. Come on, Jeremiah. Here we go. Lamentations chapter 3. And verses 12 and 13.
Amen.
All right, here we go. It says, he hath bent his bow and set who? Me as a mark for the arrow. In order for us to be used by God, he's got to shoot us first. He's got to kill that old man of sin. That old man of sin's got to die. And then he can use us, because he can raise us up into new life. Remember, he's not going to use weapons of unrighteousness. Only weapons of righteousness. So next verse, he says, he hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my what? My reins, the deepness of my being. You ever read God's word and it just strikes you right between the eyes? And it convicts you. Lord, thank you for sending that arrow. Because I needed it. Talking about this. Go with me to Job 29, 20. Book of Job. Job 29, 20. You guys like searching through the Word of God?
Amen.
I'm telling you, man, there's stuff in here we don't know. Job 29, verse 20.
Amen.
Notice this. He says, my glory was fresh in me and my bow was renewed in my hand. He's going to renew you. Even today. You want to know what God's bow is? Let's take a look. Because he's got arrows of light. But let's take a look at his bow. Go with me to Genesis chapter 9. Let me show you something. I read through this and I was stunned. Genesis chapter 9. Starting at verse 9. Genesis 9, 9. You guys there?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, one amen.
Amen.
Amen. Guys, the right side's beating you guys up here. Come on. It says, and I, behold, I establish my covenant, that's a key word, with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of the beast of the earth with you, from all that goeth out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my
bow.
You see, God's bow is a bow of light. You ever seen a rainbow? Aren't they pretty? It's a symbol of his covenant and of his glory, of his character. You know, the Roy G. Biv, red and green and yellow and blue and all that stuff? That's his bow. See, God's weapon isn't something small. It's something massive. It's something awesome. Something glorious.
Amen.
God's weapons are all powerful. Fearful and terrible to behold. And yet, they're filled with his mercy and with his justice. Because that's the symbol of a bow. The covenant. That sits over the throne of God. You know what surrounds the saints in the last days when Jesus comes? A rainbow. The very covenant. Go with me one more time to Ezekiel. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 1. Take a look at this a little bit more. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 22 to 28. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 22 to 28.
Amen.
I got one witness. Oh, I got a couple more. Okay, good. Here we go. It says, and the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were the wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two which covered on this side, and every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters as the voice of the Almighty. I want you to keep that water in mind, because how do you get a rainbow? You got to have water, right? Now, okay, keep going. It says, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was the voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a what? The likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within, from the appearance of his loins, even upward and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw it was the appearance of fire, talking about his glory, a shining, glorious being. And it had the brightness round about it, as the appearance of the what? The bow that's in the cloud of the day of rain. Are you looking for the latter rain? Rather than say, I hope some of these connections are making. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face and heard a voice of one that spake. Once you behold this bow in your own life, you'll fall down upon your face and say, God, save me, a sinner. Fill me with that same light that surrounds your throne and with your glory. I want that light. I want that righteousness. I want to be a weapon of righteousness for God. So we have the first weapon. What is it? It's a?
Bow.
It's a bow. Now, what do you do with a bow? You have to what? Shoot it. What do you call that when you pull back on it?
Stretch
it. What else?
Draw.
You draw a bow. Go with me to Isaiah 66:19. Isaiah 66:19. I'm going to prove to you that you draw a bow. Because without the Bible, we know nothing. Isaiah 66:19 says, "And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that what?
Draw
the bow." See, the Bible told you what you do with a bow. You draw it. And I don't need to read the rest of that verse. Go with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, "Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers, and we'll be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." He's going to draw us. How is the Lord going to draw us? Let's take a look. Go with me to John 6:44. Gospel of John 6. Verse 44. Can you see the same mind running through the entire Bible? John 6:44. You there? I know I'm going a little fast, but I got way more to cover.
Amen.
Amen. I got an amen. John 6:44. It says, "No man can come to me," said Jesus, "except the Father which has sent me," what?
Draw
him. "And I will raise him up at the last day." Ah, now we're starting to see how we are drawn. Remember, he's going to fill us like the bow. He has to draw us back to himself. Have you ever seen somebody draw a bow? I used to do archery. I know exactly what it's like. You pull that thing back. Now, how is he going to do it? Go with me to John chapter 12, verse 32. You guys should already know this text ringing in your ears. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 32. Now read that text silently to yourself. Do you see it? You see it? "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. That's how we draw men to Christ. And then once you're drawn to Christ, does the bow just sit here like this? How long would you hold that? What's the purpose of drawing a bow? Let it fly. I hope you guys are following me on this. Let's take a look at some more things. Let's take a look at the arrow itself. What is an arrow generally made of in the Bible? It's made of wood. Let's take a look at that. Look at Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 2. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 2. Because he's not going to just use any old wood. It's a special kind of wood. Look at Zechariah chapter 3 verse 2. You guys there?
Amen.
All right, okay. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a what?
Brand.
A brand plucked out of the..." What's a brand?
Wood.
It's a stick. It's a wood. He has to pull that wood out of the fire fires of hell, right? The destruction of the sinner. I'm going to save you, and then I'm going to recarve you for a purpose. I'm going to hone you. I'm going to make you a polished shaft. Ah, you don't believe me. Go with me to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. I need pages turning. Come on, let's hear it. Isaiah 49, verses 2 and 3.
Amen.
Ah, listen to this. It says, "And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a what?" I didn't make it up, did I? Bible told you what he's going to do to you. I want to make you a polished shaft. But he's going to take you out of the fire first. Save you from hell. So I'm going to make you a polished shaft. Notice this. In his quiver hath he hid me. And then verse 3, it says to me, "Thou art my what?
Servant,
O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." It's you. It's you. A mighty weapon in the hands of the Lord. So we have the shaft, the wood. What's at the tip, the front tip of that arrow? We call it an arrow what? An arrow what? An arrow head. What's that usually made of, let's say Old Testament wise? Flint, which is a what? Go with me to Isaiah 5:28. Just taking a look at these passages, this is really interesting. It says, "Whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent, their horses' hooves shall be counted like what?" Ah, see the connection? Now, catch the tip of the arrowhead. You said it was a flint. It is a stone. Who's the stone in the Bible? Jesus Christ. He is a rock. He's the one that has to pierce the heart. Not us. We're merely the shaft. What goes first? Jesus Christ. You ever have that piercing of Jesus? Touch your life about his love and his greatness and his goodness and his kindness? It's Christ that pierced the hardness of the heart. Not the man. It's Jesus Christ. He is that arrowhead, mighty and sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what's going to save the wicked. Not us. They must see Christ. Christ must go first. And just to think about an arrowhead, when you fire that thing and it hits you, what's the purpose of that firing the arrow to hit you? What's the purpose?
Stop you.
To kill you. Dead. The old man of sin must be dead. And then you can actually live the life of Christ. Because it says, Christ liveth in me. Paul says, I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live. How? Christ. But you ever see the wicked and they resist Christ? By the way, that's why the message of a preacher should always be sharp. Be truth. Be straight. If they lie to you, they did you a disservice. If they put a smooth preaching, disservice to you. They left a whole room full of sinners alive. That's not what Christ did. Christ said, I got to tell you the truth. If you go to a physician and they give you a wrong diagnosis because they didn't want to hurt your feelings, did they help you? They didn't help you. Not one bit did they help you. You got to tell them the truth. And the arrow of itself, once that pierces, you know what the wicked do? They see that arrow stick in them, and they what? They take it out. It should have killed their old man of sin, but because their heart was so hard, like Judas's heart, like Lucifer's heart, they let that, it just tore it out. And then what happens? You get a what? Yeah, but what happens after that? You get a scar. You get a callus. You get a scab. So it becomes harder to hit the next time. If I sent a dull arrow at you and it just bounced off of you, it would hurt, but it wouldn't kill you. But a callus would grow over it. So that means my message the next time has to be that much more sharp to pierce through the callus. So the preacher that doesn't preach straight did you a serious disservice. I hope you guys got that. All right, let's take a look. So we have the bow, we have the arrow, weapons of light. What's this thing you got to draw? A string. Let's take a look at that really quick. Look at Psalms 11. Look at Psalms 11. Psalms 11 and verse 2. It says, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in the heart." Remember the secret sinners that backbite and that gossip? What are they doing? They're shooting in secret at you. That's what we're doing when we do that. Take a look at Mark chapter 7, verse 35. I love real Bible study. We can just go through all the pages and they turn in your hands. Mark 7, 35.
Amen.
Listen to this. When I read this, I was like, wow. It says, "And straightway," Jesus is healing somebody, "straightway his ears were open, and the string of his" what?
Tongue
"was loosed, and he spake plain." You see the order of progression? First, Jesus Christ has to open your ears so you can hear his word. Right? And then he says, "I'm going to loose your tongue, then you can speak my word." And then that word must be spoken how?
Plainly.
Straight. You see the miracle? He ought to do that to you and me. "Lord, open my ears that I may speak forth thy words." And he says, "He loose the string of your" what? "Your tongue." What's this right here? What is that? It's a what? It's a voice box. What's in there?
Vocal
what? Vocal cords, or known as what? You know your voice is a stringed instrument, like a harp? And this is like a pipe. You are a stringed instrument. You're a wind instrument, just like Lucifer was. And this can either put forth beautiful music, the sound of the gospel call, or terrible music, like Satan's rap. Right? When he unlooses this, it's to speak plainly. Let's take a look at some more things. So we got the arrowhead, we got the wood, we got the shaft. Let's take a look at some arrows. Let's look at Psalms 38. Psalms 38. Verses 1 through 3.
Amen.
"O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." He's got to fill us with his arrows first. Has to fill us with his arrows. There's a couple of parallels, but I'm going to save us some time. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Now, because when we drew that arrow back, you told me, what was he going to do with the arrow? It's got to be what?
Sent.
Take a look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I, who will go for us? Then said I," what?
"Here am I,
send me." You see, the arrow has to be a willing arrow. Has to be a willing heart to go where the Lord sends you. He's not going to force you to go. He speaks to the arrow. You ever seen a master bowman? They actually speak to the arrow. "Go where I send you. Fly swiftly. Fly straight. Hit the target." And it says, "You see my son? Do you see my daughter, the person I'm sending you to? I need you to go and talk that message straight. I need you to hit them right between the eyes with my message." You have loved ones that you love? Talk to them about Jesus Christ and the gospel. Time is almost finished. Tell them. God is looking to send you. There may be no one else to send. I don't know your relative. I don't know your friends. I don't know your neighbors. But you do. And the Lord says, "I have to use you. You're the only one in there." Let's take a look. Let's take a look at this. Go with me to Job chapter 6, verse 4. Let's take a look at some more here. Oh, Job, where are you? Job chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit, the terrors of God do set themselves in array against me." You see? The sinner ought to be afraid. The sinner ought to be afraid. But his arrows are not just any kind of arrows. They're arrows of light. And I'm skipping a lot of verses to save you guys some time. But if you want them, I have them. Let's take a look at what kind of arrows. We talked about arrows of light. Look at, think of this with me. In the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke and Mark, it says Jesus is coming from what direction? East. How? How's he coming though? What's the word that's used? As lightning that shineth from the east even unto the west, right? So go with me to Job 38. Job 38, 35. Job 38. I've read this verse numerous times and never understood this until God gave me this sermon. Job 38, 35. You guys there?
Amen.
Oh, you're alive. Isn't that amazing? It says, "Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are?" I never understood that verse until I realized that his lightnings are arrows. They're you and me. That's why they said, "Here we are, send me." You're a weapon of light. Because his bow is a bow of light. It's a string of light. God is light. Okay, so we took a look at the arrow and the shaft, the arrowhead. What's on the other end of the arrow?
Feathers.
It's feathers. It's feathers. Why? Why do you need feathers? Need feathers to make a fly straight. How many of you guys know how many feathers are normally on the tip of an arrow?
Four.
Mm-mm.
Three.
There's what?
Three.
How many are there?
Three.
There's three, right? Do we know anything about a three angels' messages? Do angels have feathers? You know what's going to make this arrow fly? When that three angels' messages is in here. When it's in here, you will fly, you will soar where the Lord sends you. You cannot miss. The Lord is aiming you. He's got you in his hand and says, go, boom, on target. The three angels' messages is all powerful behind God there. Now somebody said four. You know what happens when you add a fourth feather to an arrow? Do you know what it's called then? A fourth angel's message, true, yes. What's the arrow called? A rocket. It is a missile. Now, which is more powerful, an arrow or a missile? When that fourth angel comes down in almighty power, because it's the Holy Spirit working through you and me, adds to the three angels' messages, you get a fourth feather. You then become a massive missile for God. You become a weapon of mass? Weapon of mass deliverance. A weapon of mass redemption. God sends that arrow, boom! Thousands will be converted in a day. God's weapons are greater than nuclear weapons. They're all powerful. One person with the gospel can slay thousands. And then he can raise them up. That's powerful, brothers and sisters. You're going to be used in the hands of God. Because when that hand draws back that bow, who's drawing the bow? God himself. God is what? Almighty. All powerful. So when he draws you back, sets you in his bow, how much power is behind you? So when he lets you fly, what's behind you? Almighty power. The almighty gospel. Unstoppable. It will pierce the hardest heart. Now whether they accept it or not is up to them. You see, it's not going to be in your power or in my power or in PowerPoint. By my spirit, saith the Lord. There's a couple more passages on this. I'm going to save you guys some time. What do you put the arrow in?
A quiver.
And what does the word quiver mean? To shake, to rattle, to roll, to vibrate, right? You ever been in the presence of God? It caused you to shake? Not necessarily with fear, can be that, but with an awesome joy? Yeah. Deep prayer. And deep, deep prayer. Go with me to Psalms 5, verse 9. There is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Because when you talk about a quiver, it's actually talking about a dark, dark hole. You put that arrow in. It is as a grave. He has to draw you out of that grave, put you into His light, and then send you. You know the Psalms and the Bible talks about the arrows in the hand of a mighty man? Blessed is the man that have his what? Quiver full of children. Are you not God's children? He's going to spend every one of you of His arrows so that the wicked might be saved. He's not going to let one of us remain in that quiver. He's going to say, you, go to that person. Boom, you, go to He's going to send him as a mighty warrior, conquering and to conquer. You have family members that are lost? Lord, send me. Make me a soul winner. Forget about me. Them. Them. I've covered some verses about the arm. What about, what's at the tip of your hand? What do you call that? Fingers. I mean, when you hold an arrow, you hold it between two fingers, right in your thumb, right? According to the Bible, you guys should know this, what is the finger of the Lord? New Testament, Jesus was casting out a devil. He says, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, etc. And then the other gospel says, if I by the Spirit of God. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that's holding you. It's the Holy Spirit that's directing you. You can't direct your own life. I can't direct my own life. That what a miserable failure that would be. And don't let me direct your life, please. The finger of God has you. The same finger that wrote His law in fiery words. He's going to burn them here forever. I have some other passages, but I'm going to save you guys some time. When you draw back that arrow, where do you draw it? Do you draw it down here to your belly? Where do you draw the arrow? Up here, towards your head, right? And so that arrow should be roughly between your eye, your mouth, and your ear, right? That means that arrow, which is us, God is going to speak to us. Hear a word behind you. A still, small voice. My son, my daughter, do you see that person I need to send you today? Will you go for me? Yeah, Lord, I'll go. Send me. Send me. You're shaking in the boat, ready to go. Okay, here they go. Boom. And you can speak to the Lord because it's a willing arrow. You can pray back. God hears the arrow. He's a master bowman. He knows the wood. He knows the grain. He knows its make because He made you. He made me. I have many more verses on this talking about the kings that were following the Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, and the archers. I'm going to give you guys some homework. Take a look at this. If you guys have something to write this down, write down Jeremiah 50, the entire chapter. See, I don't want to belabor it too much. Jeremiah chapter 50, that's verses 1 to 46, and Jeremiah chapter 51, 1 to 16. Because He's going to use you to surround Babylon. Babylon has fallen already. That's Jeremiah 50, whole chapter, and then 51, verses 1 to 16. He's surrounding Babylon with you. It's fallen. It's a taken city. Bring the captives out. So, remember we talked about this mighty bow made of light, right? A rainbow. What do you need to get a rainbow? You need rain. What do you need to get rain? You need clouds. What do you need to get clouds? I want you to think. Because everything in nature, 1 Corinthians 15:46, first the natural, God's telling us, and then the spiritual. So anything in nature is actually telling you about the very character of God and how He works. Amen. Everything. So the rain cycle itself actually tells you about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and everything. So when you talk about rain, you get clouds. Think, well, how do you get clouds?
Evaporation.
Okay, so you get evaporation. That's moisture collecting. But the moisture isn't just moisture. It needs to collect on something. What is it?
Sparkling.
Of?
Dust.
What are you made of? You're just a little tiny dust particle. God's going to gather you all together. He's going to raise you up, right? Because the dust got to go up. He's going to gather you as a thick and dark cloud. And then God says in the Bible that He dwells among the thick darkness. He dwells in the midst of you and me. And then when you have thick clouds, what do you get?
Rain.
What else?
Lightning.
Lightning. What else?
Thunder,
which is the voice of God. The voice of God is not really just going to speak audibly in the whole world. He will. But He speaks through you and me. He speaks by a great thunder. Can the world hear us? I tell you, the world has not heard the Seventh-day Adventist message. I tell you, Seventh-day Adventists haven't even heard the Seventh-day Adventist message. Look around. But when he speaks, thunder, boom, shaking. Then you get lightning, weapons of and arrows of light that are sent from heaven to earth with a message of mercy. If you look at all the angels in the Bible, it describes it with faces of what? Lightning and light. Not just reserved for angels, for you and for me. He's going to send you as a mighty messenger from heaven, heavenly ambassadors, your kings. Do we believe it? Can you imagine yourself with royal robes of Christ, his righteousness? I have a message for you, people of earth. Jesus Christ is coming. You want to be saved? Here's how you do it. You need electricity, right? The particles are from earth to heaven. That's prayer. Send up your prayer to heaven. Angels will gather them and take them to Christ. He's going to gather them together and he answers by his loud voice. So the rain cycle, again, is teaching you about prayer. It goes up and comes back down as a fresh rain. You can also read that in 1 Kings 18:30 to 46. If you guys want my notes afterwards, you just come to me. I'm going to read some. Zechariah 10, Zechariah 12. When you talk about the crossbow, what's the shape of the cross? It's like this, right? It's in the very shape of a crossbow. God put his best arrow on it, his only son. He took that one special golden arrow, put it on there, and he says, now I got to fire it. He drew him down to the earth, to the grave, that he might fly and ascend up to heaven. There's also counterfeits in the world. You guys ever hear of Cupid? He's supposed to fire arrows of love. He doesn't have arrows of love. He's got arrows of lust. Counterfeit. It robbed God's glory from him. How about Zeus? What's he do? He sends lightnings. Well, who did that copy? Jesus Christ. Zeus sends arrows to destroy and maim and kill and be cruel. God sends them that my people might be saved. And then you got the Marvel heroes, like Green Arrow. Supposed to be a guy who never misses. He's just human. Of course he's going to miss. It says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. God doesn't miss. How many of you want to be used by God today? Amen. Let's stand and let's sing our closing hymn. And our closing hymn,
549.
549. Watch, ye saints.